When All This Blood Has Run, written by Black Cat and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Jaster Mareel / Tare Vizsla. Summary. Of all the ways Tare hoped to see Keldabe again, this is the very furthest from even the worst of them. Keldabe is a familiar city, even in shadow. Tare tries to take his time, walking up the well-trod path to the palace, every step just as he remembers it. The feeling of cold knives in his chest won't let him drag his feet, though, and he marches forward, fighting back against every stride, even if it doesn't help. Wanting comes far second to obedience, and all of Tare's being is twisted up around the order that was whispered into his ear. The palace itself sits high on one of Keldabe's hills, far from the walls and looming in the city's soft midnight glow. Its wide, echoing halls are empty, strange without any of the people who are meant to be here, with statues and art that Tare has never seen before. He tries to look, tries to slow his steps, but the path to the throne room is still clear, no matter what else has changed, and his feet carry him forward. Tare's breath rakes his throat, each inhale a painful thing that aches all the way down through his lungs. Cold blades fill him, and he strains, struggles to step aside instead of forward, but it's as if his body is just a puppet and he has no hand on the strings. Of all the ways Tare hoped to see Keldabe again, this is the very furthest from even the worst of them. Moonlight streams through the windows, left unbarred in the night, and the brilliance fills the hall, the familiar green-gold glow of Concordia high above them. Tare's home, once, and he tries to turn his head, to look with a desperation that eats acid sharp into his bones. He shouldn't be here, shouldn't be alive, and he knows that he was only brought back for ill things, but Concordia gleams, and Tare can almost make out the curves of its main city, white and gold and shining. He's here for terrible reasons, with wretched whispers ringing in his head, but for the sight of his home still bright and lovely, it's almost worth all the pain beating like a heart in his chest. At the far end of the hall, there's an inhale, a creak of armor. Tare jerks his attention away from Concordia, fixing his gaze on the Mandalorian just coming to his feet. He's in black and blue armor, accentuated with gold and bearing the same symbol of a mythosaur skull that's on the banners outside, helmet off, face wary but not alarmed. They knew he was coming, Tare thinks. That's why the streets are empty. That's why the palace is deserted, too. It shouldn't be a relief, but even 1,000 years out from his own time, Tare is deeply, desperately grateful that he isn't being forced to kill more of his own people. Involuntarily, Tare's hand goes tight around the darksaber's hilt, and his mouth opens. Through him, from somewhere else, using his body like a mask, the Sith Lord who resurrected him says, "Take me to the man you call your Mandalore." The Mandalorian pauses, eyes narrowing as nearly tangible offense flickers, but he doesn't pull his helmet back on, doesn't make any move to reach for either of the blasters he's carrying. Instead, he steps towards the wide, heavy doors, pressing a code into the control panel. They swing open with a low creak, ponderous, catching the moonlight in the lines of another grand mythosaur skull. In Tare's day, it was the blooming branch of House Vizsla, but even Tare will admit the mythosaur is a grander, more imposing symbol, fit to unite Mandalore even in a fractious time. A shove, and the knives in his chest wrench, break what little concentration Tare has. He loses the tiny fraction of his control on a gasp, stumbles one step before his feet steady again, and the puppeteer walks his body straight into the throne room, past the Mandalorian in blue and black, as if he doesn't matter, isn't a threat. He isn't, in all honesty, but something in Tare grates at the casual arrogance, the disrespect that he would never have shown in life. Then the lights come on, low and dim along the walls, washing the familiar throne room in soft gold, and the form of the Mandalore comes into view. The Mandalore who ruled before Tare was huge, imposing, a younger daughter of Clan Ordo, and given to armor that made her look nothing less than a basilisk war droid in human form. This man isn't anywhere close to her size, but he's broad-shouldered, clearly muscled like a fighter, and able to wear his black and red armor well. He's undoubtedly the Mandalore, sprawled out in the throne like he hasn't a single care, knees spread, one foot propped up on a small chest, and the other boot flat on the floor. It's a confident sprawl, and his gaze is dark, steady, as he sweeps a look over Tare, slow and considering. In any other circumstances, with a man who looked like that, looked at him like that, Tare would be entirely willing to go to his knees, press himself between those thick thighs, follow whatever cool, steady orders the man felt inclined to give. But right now, there's another force entirely that's demanding his obedience, and his flicker of attraction, instinctive and easy, makes a mocking sort of glee rise, razor-edged. Like foul oil, that other presence curls through Tare, slips his mouth right out of his control. The theft, the invasion, makes Tare sick, and he claws, snarls inside his own mind as he tries to grab for some small bit of himself. His fingers twitch, but the puppeteer crushes that tiny rebellion down with ruthless precision, and Tare would tear at his own skin with nails and teeth if he could, if the frustration could get him free. "No," he rages, but the puppeteer laughs, amused at his struggles, and uses Tare's mouth to say, "You sit upon a false throne, Pretender Jaster Mareel. That seat belongs to me." The Mandalore doesn't move, doesn't so much as shift. "And here I thought you had demanded a ransom," he says, even. The man guarding the doorway approaches from the shadows, coming to a halt near the edge of the dais, and he's holding a blaster rifle with a short bayonet on the end, but he doesn't try to interfere. A fortune in Beskar for the location of the daughter Tor and his men are holding. Should I take this to mean the terms have changed? A kidnapped child, Tare thinks, with a cold jolt through his belly. Even unwitting, he's party to the stealing of a child and keeping her away from her parent. As a Jedi, that's entirely unacceptable, unbearable, and Tare wrenches at the puppeteer's control, throws all of his mental weight against the man's oil-slick presence, and grabs. There's a jerk. One arm twitches hard, and his fingers spasm. Not the hand holding the darksaber, but something, and Tare surges into the opening. That seething darkness crushes him back down, wraps him in thick, oozing rot, and strangles him entirely. Tare feels the lurch of his body betraying him, his will giving way, and he screams in rage and fear and desperation, but there's no sound. There's no sign of his fight, and he can't make any headway, and there's nothing he can do. Jaster still hasn't moved, and as the world swims before Tare's gaze, oil-slick sheened, he notices that Jaster's eyes are faintly narrowed, fixed on him. "I have no terms with you, Pretender," the puppeteer says, coldly arrogant, like the pause never happened. "Your claim is empty when the true Mandalore still walks the galaxy." Jaster raises a brow, fingers curling, stroking up the arm of his throne. "Is it?" he says. It's nothing close to a question. Just for the briefest moment, the puppeteer in Tare's soul hesitates. This isn't the expected response, he thinks, and Tare can feel his suspicion edging into confusion. Not wariness, though, and wariness is what he needs to feel, facing down a Mandalore. The helplessness still makes Tare sick down to his core, but that, at least, he knows without pause. With a creak of gauntlets, Jaster pushes to his feet, a casual shove of one heavy boot shoving the chest towards the waiting steward. He descends the dais, passing through a shaft of shadow and back into the light, and his eyes never waver from Tare. "I think I'm starting to see," he says, and his boot hits the inlaid tile of the floor with a ringing thump. "Too much boldness for the master, and the wisdom that comes with the title. You must be the apprentice." He smiles, thin, satisfied. Darth Sidious, was it? The puppeteer jerks, hold faltering for one fractured instant, and Tare doesn't hesitate. He hurls himself against the control with a cry, crashes through the oil rod as the feeling of knives in his chest wrenches tight, and says, "Run!" Snarling, furious, the Sith grabs him again, hauls his traitorous body back under control, and tightens Tare's hand around the darksaber. A jerk, and the blade burns to life in a wash of black and white brilliance, the hiss of it rebounding around the still throne room. The steward jerks back with a sound of disbelief. Jaster doesn't move, though. Something like satisfaction flickers across his face, and he reaches out, catches the blaster rifle that his steward tosses him, and brings it up to his shoulder, though he doesn't aim it. "And here I thought you'd just borrowed someone else's face," he says. "Tare Vizsla, I didn't expect that it was truly you." Tare can't answer, struggling to move more than the tip of one finger under his own power. The Sith controlling him just laughs, and Tare has never hated anything more than the sound of his own joy turned into something vicious and mocking. He rages, twisting, clawing inside his own mind, but there's no give at all in the strings holding him. "Do you surrender then, Mandalore?" the Sith asks, smiling, smug. "Tare Vizsla has returned to claim his throne. Are you willing to stand in my way? How soon do you think the people of Mandalore will turn against you, knowing I've returned?" And then, as loud as a gong, as heavy as the sacred spire, one burning order blazes its way into Tare's mind. Kill the Mandalore. Tare's body brings the darksaber up, burning in his grip, and lunges, and blessedly, thankfully, Jaster finally moves. He leaps back, rifle aimed and fired in a blur, but Tare redirects the shot with a twist of his blade and follows, the order pulsing through him like an infection. One sharp focus, ringing through him so loudly he can't think of anything else, and he sets his jaw, twists, lunges. The tip of the darksaber almost takes off the bayonet on Jaster's rifle, and Jaster curses, kicks out. Tare dodges it, slashes, but Jaster's jetpack fires and he flies backwards, fires again, a third time as Tare redirects the bolts. "Kill him!" Sidious's voice snarls in his head, and Tare almost stumbles as the throbbing weight of that order redoubles. The knives in his chest turn, sink deeper, and he feels Sidious's frustration snap. There's a retreat, just for a moment. With a cry, Tare throws himself forward, not at Jaster, but straight into the closest wall, where a banner with Jaster's mythosaur skull hangs. Hits stone, jarring, painful, and the hanging tears, comes down over him with a hiss of Mandalorian silk, heavy and blaster-resistant. Tare slams his head back against the stone, forces his fingers open, and feels the darksaber tumble away into the folds of tangling cloth, hissing out. Sidious howls, but the dazed whirl of motion is enough to give Tare a fraction of a second. He staggers up, meets Jaster's cool, assessing gaze, and says desperately, "On my back, stun me there." "Miles," Jaster says, and Sidious lurches back into control, grabbing for Tare's strings. The darksaber is lost to the pile of cloth, won't come when he holds out a hand to summon it, but he wrenches Tare's body around and one hand up, redirecting blaster bolts as the steward ducks behind the dais. When he touches the Force, when he uses Tare to touch it, there's an opening. Tare grabs for it, hears the crack of a blaster, and drags himself slower, makes a single step take 10 times as long as it should, and it hurts. It hurts as Sidious's noxious oil tries to drown him. A circle of burning blue takes him squarely in the back, right where Sidious's carefully etched sigil is still bleeding through Tare's clothes, and the delicate lines of gold-infused ink suddenly burn. They sear, and Tare cries out, feels Sidious howl in pain through the connection, his control flickering out as the electricity eats up the ink. There's only the vaguest sense of hitting the ground, but Tare curls his fingers against the tiles, moves under his own power, and without the throbbing weight of that twisted obedience, and the satisfaction carries him down into darkness. When awareness filters back, there's a hand curled around Tare's, the weight of cloth tangled around him, cool air against his back. Still night, he thinks, and opens his eyes to the glow of Concordia above, silent and golden, and Jaster seated on the ground beside him, thumb pressed to the slow beat of Tare's pulse. "You're a good shot, Mandalore," Tare says, throat dry with the after effects of being stunned. In his head, the place where Sidious was is an empty ache, but there's no trace of the Sith's rot remaining, just Tare's own will, and the relief shakes through him, as sharp as the ache all up and down his back. "Particularly when I'm given an opening," Jaster says, faintly amused. "Given that you aren't trying to strangle me, should I assume you're yourself once more?" Tare nods, pushing up, and pauses when heavy cloth slides free, pooling in his lap. Jaster's sigil stares up at him, a black mythosaur skull on a field of gold, and he curls his fingers into it, closes his eyes for a long moment. "Forgive me," he says, quiet. "I couldn't stop him myself. When I woke up the first time, he had already taken control." Jaster's dark gaze is unwavering, and his hand slips all the way around Tare's, grips. "And yet, you managed to tell me precisely how to stop him, even while under his control," he says, and raises Tare's knuckles to his mouth. "Mandalore Vizsla." Tare snorts, though he can't help the twist of tempered heat that rises at the motion. "I renounced all claim to the throne before I died in my time," he says. "Ask a historian. I'm sure my orders for everyone to leave me the hell alone were recorded somewhere." Humor lightens the lines of Jaster's face, and he tips his head. "One or two places," he accounts. "I've read the accounts." "You mean," Miles says from behind him, and both Jaster and Tare twitch, "that you had them stapled up above your bed as a child." "Miles, close your mouth before I staple that up," Jaster starts, deeply aggrieved. Miles makes an unimpressed sound, but sinks down on one knee, laying out bandages and a tub of Bacta. "Mandalore," he says, meeting Tare's eyes. "If you'll allow me." "Please," Tare says, because his back is throbbing and every motion hurts. With a grimace, he pulls off the scorched remains of his shirt, then twists enough to give Miles his back, and the sharp inhale is hardly comforting. "This may be permanent," Jaster says quietly, grimly. A calloused hand slides over Tare's back, over trickles of tacky blood, and Tare grimaces. "I'd suspected as much," he allows. "Bacta can only do so many things, and burning the ink out likely left its own mark. Worth it to be rid of Sidious's influence, though." He hesitates, then looks up, catching Jaster's gaze. "Your daughter, Mandalore. I don't know where she's being held. Forgive me." Jaster's features slide towards grimness, but he shakes his head. "I've been looking for Arla for a very long time already," he says, quiet. "This is simply another dead end." He pauses, and a mix of humor and satisfaction rise in his face as he takes Tare's hand again, his smile thin and pleased. "Besides, I think we may finally have the one thing that could shame Tor into handing her over." Tare raises a brow. "Me?" he asks, bemused. "You couldn't pay me to return to politics after all this time, Mandalore." "Even the politics of your house," Jaster counters. "Tor Vizsla is one of your own, after all." Instantly, disbelief snaps into irritation. "Vizsla?" Tare demands. "A Vizsla kidnapped the Mandalore's daughter and is holding her for ransom?" "Well," Miles mutters, "I suppose that's one way to solve the civil war." A civil war, with his house on the opposite side from a Mandalore who seems entirely reasonable, responsible, impressive. Tare rubs a hand over his face, trying to contain his annoyance before it bleeds into anger, and takes a breath. He'd abdicated. He'd gone to live out the last years of his life in the forests of Concordia, free of harassment from all the clans who never failed to want something from him, and more than once he'd contemplated rejoining the Order just for some peace. You knew Sidious had planned something, he says, setting aside the matter of his family for the moment. Do you need me to tell you where he is at the moment? Jaster snorts. No, he says, faintly dry. A tiny little Sephi woman turned up on the doorstep 2 days ago and informed us that the Sith was going to attempt to trick his way onto the throne. Then she vanished with her netty friend and went to take care of Sidious herself. A Sephi, Tar thinks, and laughs. There's only one possible person it could be. Faye, he says, delighted. Faye sensed what was about to happen. It's the furthest thing from surprising that she's still alive. Tare's troublesome little Padawan has never, ever done what she's meant to, even when what she's meant to do is follow the natural order of the universe. She's still a Jedi, after 1,000 years. You know her? Jaster asks, startled, and pulls back. He pauses, and then quickly clears his throat. Then, when she returns, I have several things I'd like to ask the two of you, particularly regarding the time before the fall of the Old Republic. Miles sighs, pointed. I suppose, he says, as Jaster scowls at him in affront, that I should be grateful you managed to look dignified in front of Tare Vizsla for even 20 minutes. Miles, close your mouth. I have done nothing undignified even once. You're going to ask him to sign those terrible, dusty old books. I would not. They're first editions from 1,000 years ago. Miles, how dare you? You're going to ask him to sign your posters of him, then? The ones with the hearts and Mr. Jaster Vizsla? You know, Tor thought those were about him the first time he saw them. Jaster makes a sound of utter disgust, and Tare gives in and laughs, leaning back as Miles' quick hands press back to patches over his back. Well, he says judiciously, that would certainly be one way to circumvent any unrest my presence might cause. Jaster blinks, startled, and then flushes, and Tare laughs again, catches his fingers. Jaster's grip immediately tightens around them, and he leans in, brings Tare's hand up, and the press of his mouth is warm, edges out some of the empty ache that's torn into Tare's skull, makes the memory of his own helplessness a little easier to bear. A negotiation to be undertaken when you're recovered, Jaster promises, and Tare slides a thumb across his knuckles, twists his fingers tighter in the image of the mythosaur skull. I look forward to it, he says, and means every word. The end.